the best way to bring folks together
something has changed within
is to give them a real good enemy.
You're green.
I am.
Something is not the same.
Something just takes over me. And when it does, bad things happen. Once you learn to harness your emotions, the sky's the limit.
Bring her to me.
Don't be afraid. I'm not afraid. It's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Royal Podcast of Oz. We are on a special episode that was pitched by my special guest, who you've heard before if you've been listening to the podcast, but just let him introduce himself.
Hello, I'm Angelo. I'm here quite frequently. Not quite frequently, once in a while, but it's good to see me, isn't it?
It is. I'm sure there was no need to answer because that was rhetorical.
Of course.
So, yeah, we're recording this on February 12th, 2024, which was the day after the Super Bowl when we got our first look at John M2's musical epic, Wicked.
Thank goodness.
So, what Angela wanted to do was talk about the movie, the first, like, frame by frame. I'm like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's do it. Of course, we're not the only ones doing it. I just saw a video where Ryan J and Toy Calamito did it. So, that's out there if you also want to see a video version with a couple other different perspectives. But, you know, sometimes other people have different ideas. So, I'm not saying there's probably going to be some overlap in our hypothesis because we're working off the same stuff. But, yeah. So, yeah. All right. Did you watch the game or did you just catch it online when it dropped?
I started watching the game because I had heard that the teaser would drop during the first commercial break, which ended up being true. So I watched it up until the Wicked teaser and then turned it off. And then I turned it back on towards the very end just because I wanted to see Taylor Swift. I wanted to see her reaction when the Chiefs won. So, but there were some other trailers that dropped throughout the game that I thought were decent. I think Wicked stole the show, of course, in my opinion.
Yeah. And yeah, it was a 1-minute teaser trailer and they packed a whole lot into there. Like, it is like second by second, there's something new flipping around. So it's like, yeah, you kind of have to do frame by frame here. I just told Angelo how to do it on YouTube. So.
Yeah, it's. I felt really overwhelmed the first time I watched it just because it was so much to take in and react to. I expected it to be a lot more kind of vague and teasery. Like, I really didn't think that there would be as much visuals as there are in the trailer.
Yeah,
I did predict correctly that it would end with the line, "Don't be afraid," and then it's the wizard who should be afraid. I predicted that. I made that prediction to a couple of friends and was very happy to be correct in that prediction.
All right. So, yeah. Yeah, I watched it a few times because, honestly, I'm just going to say this movie looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They did not spare any expense. They have a really talented cast. Some of them are like Oscar winners and super famous people, and others are up and coming. And, well, it's a lot like, well, they were going to make Wicked. It, you know, for what we're planning on, I guess, doing, this is going to be the movie version for some time. So, I guess they had to, they just wanted to do the best they could, and I'm glad that they're giving them space to do this. Now, we did a podcast called Wicked Movie Hype, where we discussed that they're breaking into two films, that they're going to expand on the story a bit, So that way they can also flesh out the story a little more and tell the basically tell a more cinematic version of the story. Because, you know, there's things that work in theater and there's things that work in film, and they don't always overlap.
Right.
So. All right. Because.
I feel like we should just dive in.
All right. Do you want to say what the very first shot is?
Yeah, so the first shot is this looks to be right after Elphaba has melted. So we have the witch's hat. It looks like the floor is maybe the floor underneath is maybe wet. There's kind of a smoke or haze that is coming up from the hat, and then there's some like maybe sparks of fire around. So this, I feel pretty confident that's what we're looking at here. And this shot comes up later. We'll talk about it when it comes back later. But this, I believe this is the very first shot of the film. And I think if so, I think it's smart to sort of make this an iconic shot by making it the first shot of the teaser.
Well, I mean, it kind of like
feels
placed into the early productions of the musical where they had a giant hat on stage at first. But here right. they just show the hat, even though it's presumably a normal scale hat just on the set.
Right. Well, and, you know, I can just feel the music of No One Mourns the Wicked, the opening number, as the like smoke is coming up here. Like, this just feels right to me. And so I hope that that is correct. And it feels iconic. So I'm fantastic first shot of a teaser. 10 out of 10.
All right, and next shot, we have what appears to be Elphaba sitting on the Yellow Brick Road under construction, and she's touching one of the yellow bricks. I assume that's under construction. We've kind of seen some set photos that indicated that was going to be happening.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure what to make of this shot. Like it seems like there's some kind of emotional resonance to what she's doing here. Initially, like, I thought maybe this is after, obviously, there are going to be spoilers for Wicked if you're listening to this. I'm assuming you've seen Wicked.
Oh, yeah, we just got to make this a full spoiler thing, because if we're having to talk vague, we're just going to be tied in knots here. So,
yeah. So, at first I thought maybe this is after Nessa dies, and this is sort of her grieving Nessa, and maybe this is somewhere in Munchkinland or something. Because it just, the hand, like, it just feels like there's some sort of emotional resonance. So maybe it's that, maybe this is in the context of a song, perhaps. Not sure, but there's something emotional that I'm getting from this shot.
Yeah. It's not... And then next shot, we have the train.
Yeah, which has all sorts of clockwork type things, which makes sense, you know, with the show. If you've seen the stage version, like that sort of a motif design wise, the whole stage is the time dragon clock, and there are these gears that kind of work to transition between set pieces. Like, it's a big part of the like visual language of Wicked. So I think it's cool that that's incorporated here. And they actually built this, or at least partially. A lot of times, lately in Hollywood, like for big budget films, they'll build a lot of things practically, and then they'll end up replacing them with CGI anyway. And so, like, to me, this looks like a CGI train, and the cornfield behind it looks CGI. Not bad CGI, but looks like CGI. So I would guess that that is what happened here. But I think it is pretty cool. I think we see it again later in the trailer at some point. I would assume this is after the wizard and I, Elphaba departing from Shiz to the Emerald City, perhaps.
You can see Elphaba in a black dress. She's holding something in her hand, and there appears to be Shiz students behind her dressed in how you see the Shiz students a little bit later dressed. So I think maybe this is right before, and maybe Glinda joins her, and they head off for one short day.
Right.
We'll see. So, all right. And then we get a nice overhead shot of Shiz, which honestly, I never really had an idea of what Shiz really looked like. Like, I got that it was probably this grand old college, but I don't know, reading the book, it just felt like an old, boring, like, Yale, Harvard place to me, and then the musical doesn't really have much of a chance to show us what Shiz would look like, because you can only do so much on stage. And right. Now here we are seeing it realized in a film, and I'm just like, okay, that actually looks kind of Ozzy. Like,
yeah, proper Ozzy. This looks gorgeous to me, and I think it, this shot, there are so many shots where this thought came in my brain, but this one in particular, like, it is amazing to me how far visual effects have come just in the past 10 years. Like, just taking this shot alone and comparing it to any shot in Oz the Great and Powerful, which I just mentioned because that is kind of the last big budget Oz movie that we've had, you know, in the modern era, like 10, 11 or so years ago. This is just like on a completely different level. I think partially because they did build some of this. So what we're seeing is sort of a combination of a composite of CGI and actual photography, but it's just absolutely gorgeous. And the opposite of minimalist is what I would say about every single shot in this trailer. Like, they are giving us the absolute most in every single shot, every detail. There's just so much going on here, and I am absolutely here for it.
Yeah, if this wasn't supposed to be Shiz, but if this was supposed to be Oz, I would be like, oh, is that the Wogglebugs College? But no. But, yeah. So, next shot. Yeah, Shiz has water around it, and the next shot takes us a little bit further into there as Glinda arrives with what looks like her father on a boat and a boatman. Now, it's basically been leaked that we're going to see both of Glinda's, well, Glinda at this point in the story, Glinda's parents, but I don't see anywhere her mother could be on the boat in this shot.
I think she might be behind the guy who's in the front, maybe?
Well,
maybe she's next to the dad?
I don't know. Maybe. Okay, that's like right before the shot changes, you see something right beside the dad that could be someone else there. But who knows? Like, maybe her mother's already at Shiz and was getting her room ready for her or something. And
yeah, I think it's also worth noting that the casting for Glinda's parents has not been revealed.
Yeah.
From the set photos, we could only see the back of them. I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
I may have mentioned this on the previous podcast that we did about Wicked, but I believe in my heart of hearts that Glinda's mom is played by Kristen Chenoweth. And I'm going to go on a limb here and predict that her dad is played by Norbert Leo Butz, who played Fiero. In the Broadway version.
Yeah, the original Broadway cast. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. This is our first shot of Ariana Grande as Glinda. And, you know, I was thinking a little bit about the storyline of Wicked. I'm like, I really get why the story just resonates with so many people, because Glinda really goes on this remarkable journey through the story that changes her, and, you know, Elphaba changes too, but not really because Elphaba changes. And I've just realized that this Wicked trailer has over 2 million views and is getting closer to 3 million.
Yeah, this is huge.
So,
I like this shot. I will say this shot feels more artificial to me than I would like for it to, and from a visual effects perspective. Yeah. Like, I think everything on the right side of the frame is practical, but, you know, what you're seeing to the left, kind of on the other side of this bridge or whatever they're going under, is obviously not practical. So that doesn't look, I don't know. I feel like that could use a little bit more work. But I love, again, like everything is just so detailed. There's so much detail just in this boat, in the architecture in the background. Like it is just, I just can't believe like the amount of work that must have gone into designing all of this and building all of it. It's just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And please note, we're only 7 seconds into this trailer.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Next shot shows Elphaba putting her hand on the back of her head. Looks like she's brushing some hair maybe out of her face.
Yeah. And there's been quite a lot of discussion online about this shot, because of Elphaba's micro braids, they're called, which is a hair style that is very common among Black women and is just a detail that shows the lengths that they've gone to really honor, really just make sure they're doing justice to what a Black woman's hair looks like.
Yeah,
you know, they could have very easily just stuck a black wig on her, sort of like she wears in the stage show, but this it just, again, just goes to show you like the amount of thought and intention that was put into every single detail.
Yeah.
Of this.
Yeah, you also see, so she's got very long and sharp nails. She's wearing a ring on one of her fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already wearing black, which I know some people have been like, why is she wearing black already? She's supposed to wear that when she gets to the Emerald City, so she appears as the Wicked Witch for the first time. I'm just like, it's a different version of the story. Let's let it play out.
Right. Well, and I appreciate that none of the costumes are replicated from the show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think they could have, because the costumes in the show are so iconic at this point. It's been on Broadway and on tour for more than 20 years, and those costumes are fantastic. So they could have easily just sort of lifted them and gone in that direction for the film. But I think it's pretty cool that they have done something completely original with the costumes. Even her glasses, as we'll see in a minute, like, it's just iconic.
Yeah, next shot shows some of the Shiz students staring at Elphaba as she walks through. And I thought there was quite a bit of difference of age range, or whereabouts the Shiz students here. Some of these guys look already up in their 30s or something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess college could work differently in Oz, yeah. Right? Like, it might not be the same years.
Well, honestly, you can go to college pretty much whenever, but you have to pay a lot of money, so some people do go to college later in life, but
it looks like that might be Madame Morrible with her arms up, sort of out of focus in the center of the shot. I would guess so. It looks like somebody addressing students, looks like a woman. If that's Madame Morrible, I don't think that is a look that we've seen from her. So maybe it's someone else, but it's giving Madame Morrible to me.
All right. And then the next shot shows Fanny, Galinda, and Shinshin turning to see Elphaba for the first time. And of course, Fanny is played by Bowen Yang, who people know from SNL, and he's also been termed by some people as our great gay god. So
I am obsessed with Bowen Yang's entire look in this shot. I mean, the hair feels very reminiscent of like the Lollipop Guild Munchkin stuff. The glasses are so extra for no reason in a perfect way. Looks like I can't tell if that's a skirt or shorts. Either way, I love it. And I think Bowen is hilarious and will add a nice touch of humor.
Yeah. This, isn't Fanny in the, I'm pretty sure Fanny in the musical or and book is a female, so, but here they've made a male and played by a gay man. So this is an interesting gender bend, because usually gender bend is a male character suddenly being played by a female character, and it's interesting to see it go the other way for once.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I suppose it the character could be non-binary, right? We don't know for sure.
It's probably not going to get brought up, but I think they just wanted to give Galinda a sassy gay friend.
Every woman needs a sassy gay friend.
There was a whole web series about this, Angel.
It's true.
Yeah. And I don't know, I'm kind of like, I would be her friend, okay?
Yeah.
I would want to be her friend. But anyways, yeah, Galinda gets a little hushed out because apparently she sees Elphaba for the first time. See the other students behind them looking at her like, what? And a little more of Elphaba moving along. And then, yeah, Galinda looks her over and says, you're green.
Yeah, and then so on this close-up of Ariana Grande, there's some detail here that I really enjoy. So she has a little, lapel pin of some sort on her jacket that has a G on it, which I love. I love the hat. I feel like this would make a fantastic doll. I know there's been some leaks about some Barbie dolls that'll be coming out. In my opinion, we can't have enough. Like, I would like every single look for both Elphaba and Galinda in a doll form. So I would like this look, all of them, please.
Yeah, I mean, I have Barbie dolls at the MGM, and I bought Oz the Great and Powerful dolls and a Legends of Oz doll that actually looked like Dorothy in the movie. But I think I might add some Wicked dolls when the merchandise hits. I really wish I picked up the Broadway dolls, though.
I wish I had the Broadway dolls too. They are, I had like an eBay alert for them, and I feel like they're always way more expensive than they should be at this point. They go for like anywhere between $60 to $150, depending on the condition.
Mattel, reissue.
I know. Maybe the prices will go down once the movie dolls come out, and they won't be as unique anymore.
We'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh boy. Yeah. So you're green and Elphaba looks down at her hands and is like, I am.
This is interesting because it's dialogue that is new. This is not in the show.
Yeah.
Also, just from a filmmaking perspective, I find this interesting. The way that it's shot is sort of straight on. You have both Elphaba and Galinda looking directly into the camera, which is interesting. Not something you see a lot. I'm sure there's intention behind it. But it really allows us to get a good look at Elphaba. You see she has freckles on her cheeks, which I love. And then I've seen a lot of commentary on her glasses, which I think are just perfect and oddball for no reason. But it just makes sense for her character. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of that. And I think her hair looks fantastic.
Yeah, I remember that. Seeing a BTS video about the Broadway show with the costume designer was showing off some of the costumes and saying, it's honest, the things can have a funny shape. And, these glasses, they, like, almost, the front of them actually holds the lenses. Looks like there's just one big metal S. I'm just describing it for people who aren't actually looking at it, which shame on you for not, but, and I'm just like, I would buy one of these.
Even wear glasses and I would wear these.
I've been needing to get a new pair anyway.
I think you could rock it for sure.
So I'm like, her saying I'm like, this could go in a few different ways. It could be their adaptation of, yes, I've always been green, or I didn't eat grass as a child, or I'm not seasick, or like that. That she probably pulls out in the musical. Or it could be that someone is actually looking at her and talking about her and not treating her as unsightly monstrosity.
Yeah, I feel like this may be a replacement for the as in the Broadway show.
Yeah.
Something that I'm getting from this adaptation overall is that it's sort of quieter, right? Which I think makes sense when you're translating something from a stage, where a lot of times the performances are very big and loud, and then you're translating it for the screen, and you know, it kind of becomes more intimate. And that kind of, this feels like an example of that, where instead of having Elphaba run around and shout at everyone, which he may still do, we don't know, but this feels like maybe a more intimate version of that moment in the show.
Yeah. So, and I'll just say this, I don't mind them changing stuff, because let the musical that, you know, this is based on, of course, be the musical, and let the movie be its own thing. So, you know, I know there are people who would love, want to have a wicked pro shot of the musical to watch whenever they want, but I've grown to like the idea of movie versions of a musical being their own thing apart from the musical, and not just considered the pro shot version of the musical.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think, yeah, because I think the musical will always live on in some form, right? Whenever it ends its Broadway run, then it will be open to community theaters, etc., putting on productions of it. And I honestly wouldn't mind if they, before it closes on Broadway, whenever that happens, I think it would be great to get a pro shot. And I think that can exist, that can coexist separately. Like, I don't think one cancels out the other, you know? So, I don't know. I like that this is doing things differently. As we see in this next shot here, which I'm not sure who that is on the horse.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if I'm crazy. Well, I know I am crazy, but at one point, as I'm going frame by frame, the horse looks purple to me.
Okay. So, are you saying this is a horse of a different color, maybe?
I think it may be a nod to that. You know, the horse may just be purple, and it may be a nod to the horse of a different color, but that is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. So who's riding on the horse?
I'm not...
Who knows? But we see the Emerald City in the distance, and honestly, I am not as, you know... I basically always made it clear that the original version of Oz from the original Oz books is basically my favorite version. But honestly, I like it.
Yeah, I love that this Emerald City is unique. It's not trying to look like the MGM Emerald City, which I think is what so many adaptations try to do, you know, with kind of the phallic, for lack of a better word, buildings. This is not trying to replicate like that silhouette at all, or it's not the same. Like, this really just feels like a completely unique Emerald City, which I love. There is a hint of a rainbow in the sky, which I think is nice. It's just a tiny hint to the right of the frame. Just enough. I love that. So I'm a fan. It also looks like we have a lot of different kinds of flowers around. You see some red, which, you know, I guess are the poppies, but there's also quite a lot of purple, which is nice.
So I heard they had to plant a lot of tulips to actually film some of these shots, which, you know, they could have just CGI those in, but they went ahead and just put actual flowers down there. That costs a lot more, of course, so.
I am dying to know what the budget is for these movies. I feel like it is astronomical. I mean, just given the fact that they spent $14 million on the Super Bowl spot last night, you know, I think that says something about how much they're putting into this in terms of resources and money. So that's impressive.
Okay, next shot is Elphaba in the Oz Dust Ballroom. And it's actually here we see, for the first time, although not super clearly, Nessa Rose and Bach over to the right.
Yeah, I'm not... I will say, my like thoughts on the trailer are like super positive, but I will say I'm not loving Nessa Rose's look at all. This may be part of her character to maybe like not be fashionable, but I think this dress is really strange from you know what we can see of it. I also don't love Bach's hair, which we've seen from some set photos that have leaked. It is giving Johnny Depp Mad Hatter to me. Even he's wearing sort of a similar type of bow tie situation. That just feels very Mad Hattery to me, and is a departure from how I envisioned Bok. So it might grow on me. We haven't really seen a lot of him at all, but not loving either of the looks for these characters so far.
Right. Yeah, so Elphaba's putting on her hat, which, you know, is in the musical. This is the hat that Galinda gave to her because she didn't like it, but Elphaba takes it as basically a nice present. And, you know, I've really got to wonder how much they're going to delve into Elphaba's backstory before she got to Chiz, because the novel goes into that a bit, although it skips quite a few years between her being a very young child and Chiz. So, you know.
Well, you know, there is a new book coming out October 1st that will fill in those gaps.
They're calling it a prequel, but I'm like, the novel starts with Elphaba's birth, so it's the proper term would be midquel, but no one really uses that term much, so.
Right. I do want to note before we move on to a different shot that this is a different dress for Elphaba than we've seen. And I kind of like it. So in the show, there's sort of a gag made of the fact that she's wearing a frock at this point in the story. And, you know, it's just a super plain, not great looking dress. But this one I like. It feels similar to the Act Two dress that Elphaba wears in the Broadway version, with sort of the lacy kind of in the ruffles. Like, I don't know. I like it. It's fashionable.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, there, and you know, I brought up that thing about Elphaba's backstory because, you know, how often do you think Elphaba would have been, just as a child, how often she would have been passed up for having something new given to her rather than having a cast off or something?
Right.
Like, I theorized when one person was asking why she was wearing black, I'm like, well, black is. Was usually seen as traditionally was seen as pretty much a cheap fabric. It you know, basically stains don't show up on it, so black would be one of the cheapest things to give someone. So I kind of theorized that why it might be why he's wearing black, and who knows what's going into the visual storytelling that you might need to have some context to know about. So
maybe she's just in her goth phase.
That too.
We've all been there.
I mean, I think I'm still going to get to mine, so my 40s are probably going to be weird. And then we get to what looks like Madame Morble actually teaching Elphaba to use her powers, which is not seen in the musical at all.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that here. I think that will be really interesting to see. It looks like it's a levitation spell that they're learning. I'm not sure. It looks like maybe a coin or something in the next shot that is flipping around. Elphaba's also wearing a new look that we haven't seen yet. So, it seems like we're going to spend more time at Chiz, since this is another look.
Yeah. I'm saying this is very Julie Andrews and the Sound of Music during Do Re Mi.
Yeah, and she's wearing blue. So it's not, this looks like maybe a Chiz uniform actually. Since they wear a lot of blue, I don't know.
And I guess this is actually our first shot of Michelle Yeoh as Madame Morble, and she looks great.
Yeah, I like it. I love the hair. I think the hair is essential to pulling off Madame Morble. And I like that the costumes are fresh. This is not like the iconic red look or the green look that Madame Morble has in the show. And this, like, just knowing, having seen Michelle Yeoh in a couple of things, I would also expect that, similar to what I was saying before, that this Madame Morble will be quieter and more intimate, and that I think, makes her scarier, perhaps, even just given the glimpses of her that we see here. Whereas the Madame Horrible in the stage version is very loud and, you know, has a booming voice and very big presence and also a very large behind. So I think it's interesting to see a different version of different take on that character here.
I wonder if maybe some of her duties we saw her doing in the musical might be split up and given to the currently unseen Miss Cotto character played by Kiara Seattle, or her name's pronounced. Like, you know, at the start, she, when we first see in the musical, she's giving out room assignments. So.
Right.
I wonder if maybe Miss Cotto might take that over in the movie version, but, you know, we'll see.
Do we know if Miss Cotto is human?
To be fair, we do not.
Because, like, I don't think Kiana Settle is ever spotted on set. So it's possible that it's sort of a Dr. Dillamond situation and it's actually an animal. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's my theory.
And since you brought up, Dr. Dillamond also does not appear in this trailer. There has been some rumors that the character is being gender bent in the more traditional sense, from what I talked about Fanny earlier, that it's going to be played by a female actress instead, and there's also been some rumors that it might be Idina Menzel
voicing Dr. Dillamond. No, don't say it.
What?
Don't say it. I don't want it to be true. I don't know.
I think I would kind of hate it to be true because I kind of hate when something gets out and it's not really confirmed. And then you go see the movie, and it turns out it was right all along. And you're like, I wish I had it known.
Why would you waste Idina Menzel's amazing vocals on something bad, which is arguably the worst song in Wicked? Yeah. I think it is beneath Idina Menzel to play a goat. And I hope. I mean, in John Chu, we trust. I think he knows what he's doing. But I just hope that's not true. It makes me very nervous.
So, yeah. And also, sorry, Andy Cohen, Dr. Dillamond is confirmed for the movie.
I'm with Andy Cohen on this one. I just don't. It's my least favorite. I understand the importance of the character and the role he plays in the story, but his scenes are among my least favorite.
Maybe they've done something better with him this time around. Let's see. We'll see.
We shall see.
All right, so next shot, we have Glinda and Elphaba sharing a scene again. This is probably Glinda discovering that she's been forced to room with Elphaba, and Elphaba realizing that Glinda doesn't really like her.
Right. I'm also seeing that I was wrong about the pin that is on her jacket. It's actually an S. And I believe that's the sort of like the emblem for Shiz, because I've seen that. There's a crew sweatshirt that sort of leaked for Wicked for the movie that said Shiz University and had that same kind of curly S on it. So, small detail, but interesting.
All right. So, and then the shot after that has Elphaba talking about how her magic works and says that bad thing, other things happen when she uses it. And that's actually probably talking to Madame Morble there. So this is probably one of her.
Right.
It looks like she's wearing the same dress, and her hair is styled up in the same way as when she meets Glinda. So this is probably still on her first day, and Madame Morble's taking her aside to talk about her abilities.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is after the first outburst when they're doing the room assignments, and she starts to take Nessa away.
Yeah. Yep.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, afterward there's a very quick shot of her back in the Oz Desk ballroom doing her little solo dance, but she's not wearing the hat. So is this before or after she's taken off, before she's put it on?
I would guess before. Maybe she puts her head on at the very end. And also, Buck and Nessa are on the opposite side of where they were in the other shot. So there's definitely some space between the two shots.
Different angle.
A different moment.
Different angle, yeah. Different moment. So.
Yeah, I kind of like in the stage version how all in the scene, all of the Shiz students are wearing black and white. It really makes Glinda and Elphaba stand out. They're not doing that here, which makes, you know, it's fine. But that is something I kind of appreciate about the way it's staged.
All right. And the shot afterward has our very first winged monkey breaking through a window. And it looks like this is Elphaba's scene. So after, if this is history, is he breaking through a window at Kiyomoko because he believes Elphaba is dead and this is him mourning her in his own way?
Maybe. I think this is part two of the very first shot of the trailer. This is the same shot. I think this is the opening shot. So I think we have the music swelling up for No One Mourns the Wicked. The monkey, which is probably Chistery, crashes through the window, and then if I had to guess, I think the camera kind of goes with him and goes all the way to Munchkin Land. And then we have Glinda in the bubble and No One Mourns the Wicked. Right. That would be, I think that is the case here. I could be very wrong, but we shall see. This is definitely a continuation of the first shot, though.
Right. Yeah, the next shot afterward is definitely during Defying Gravity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this... This could even be the final shot of the first movie where we see Glinda and Madame Morrible with the wizard's guard around them watching as Elphaba flies off in the sky.
Yeah. I'm really struck by how green the Emerald City and the guards are. Like, this is a... I don't know. I feel like the green... is a very, I don't know, I'm not great describing colors, but it's a very striking green that to me feels different than other things we've seen before.
There's basically different shades to every color, but yeah, the green on the guards' uniforms just has a little bit more of a blue highlight to it, I would say.
Right.
Whereas mm-hmm. in the background, there's a little more yellow. So it looks a little paler. So.
Right.
The guards look a little brighter, but also darker. So, yeah.
And I would guess this is the dress that Glinda wears from One Short Day all the way up until the end of part one. Because yeah. we see this come up again later in the teaser. So I don't...
Yeah.
I don't... have much to say about the dress. I mean, I think I prefer the yellow that she wears in the show just because it is a nice change from other dresses that she wears throughout the show.
Yeah.
And it just feels iconic. So this one, I don't hate it, but it's not a standout. I don't really want a doll of this one. I'm fine if we don't get a Barbie of this dress.
I'm just going to say that the way she has her hairstyle here, during that later shot, when you see it, it's almost like her skin and her hair have almost blurred in a way that it's just like, what's going on there? It might just be those shots just looking weird to me or something, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we're only 27 seconds into 1 minute here.
I know.
All right. Next one, we have Madame Morrible talking to Elphaba again. Probably around, looks like it might be the same scene as earlier with the spinning coin.
Yeah, Madame Morrible's wearing, they're both wearing the same attire and looks like the same room. I love the necklace action that's going on here on Madame Morrible. Love the hair. I wouldn't mind a doll of Madame Morrible. I was going to say Madame Alexander, which makes... dolls. Wouldn't mind a doll. I don't think we'll get one because it's not really a popular character, but I love it.
Yeah, probably if there was
I love the collar.
Collector's
collar feels so extra. Yeah, that's why I think that's why Madame Alexander came to mind, just because they sort of make more collectible, more higher end dolls. So I could see them making one of Madame Warble.
Yeah. And next shot, we have Jonathan Bailey as Fiero making his only appearance in this trailer, with a little scratch on his head instead of having hot gay sex with Matt Bomer.
Watch yeah, Fellow Travelers. He looks good. I haven't seen it. He looks good here to me. I think I don't know. I need to see more of him for sure, but he looks, having seen, like, I follow him on Instagram, so I see what he looks like. He just looks old to me to be playing a college boy. Mm. So I'm a little bit concerned about that. He looks good here, but to me, I think he's about the same age as Cynthia Erivo. I think they're maybe both mid-30s, but for some reason he looks older to me. So hopefully that's not an issue, or, you know, not distracting or anything like that. His hair is perfect here. I love the swoop that's going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is without a doubt when he and Alpha Urba set for the Lion Cub that becomes you-know-who.
Right.
So, and the next shot has people talking because it looks like this is Wedding Day Glinda.
Yeah, I am 90% sure that this is some sort of dream sequence or fantasy sequence. If it takes place during part one, it could be during I'm Not That Girl. This could be Elphaba envisioning herself at Glinda. I never know whether to say Glinda or Galinda, so I'll use them interchangeably. But this could be Elphaba sort of having a vision of herself watching Galinda and Fiero get married. I could see that happening. If it's part two, I could see this happening in Thank Goodness, maybe as a flashback to the wedding that happened in between, or I don't know. It definitely is a dream sequence in my view. There's the way that it's shot and lit, and it sort of has a kind of out of focus, hazy look to it, and the butterflies are so extra that I feel pretty good about the fact that it's some sort of fantasy sequence, but... Yeah. As always, could be wrong.
Well, what is Oz of Nalo extra? So, there's also been speculation that, you know, in Act Two of the musical, their Wonderful is actually basically happening at the same time as a ball announcing Glinda's engagement to Fiero, even though all the way back in Thank Goodness, Glinda refers to Fiero as her fiancé, so...
Right.
There's been some thought that maybe they'll change it from announcing engagement to their straight-up wedding, and this is where Fiero is going to leave Glinda, because he's like, no, I can't be with you anymore.
Oh, I really like that, actually. That's so much more dramatic than an engagement party. Yeah. So... I would like that. It's like, it would be a subtle change, but a welcome one. So I'd be on board for that if it's not a dream sequence. Yeah.
It makes it hurt a little more. It would make, you know, Fiero leaving hurt a little more for Glinda, but it ultimately wouldn't change the story that much.
Right.
So if that's a change they've made, go for it.
Agreed.
All right. So after... Wedding Glinda, we have this really nice shot of Glinda putting her head on Elphaba's shoulder.
So, yeah, it's interesting to me that Glinda's hair is in pigtails. It's very Dorothy-ish. So that's an interesting choice. I don't think I would have done that personally, because it feels very Dorothy-ish to me. But Cynthia is... The face acting here, like I think she is sort of like in an Angelina Jolie as Maleficent way. Like, I just bring that up because I think Angelina Jolie in that role does so much just in her face. Like, I feel like Cynthia Erivo is just acting so much with her face. I don't know if that makes sense, but she looks incredible here.
Okay, I just tried to up my enhancement and just saw that there is now literally an enhanced bitrate you can only get if you're paying for YouTube Premium. So
I saw that.
I've just now noticed.
Not happy about it.
So I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, whatever. Guess what? I can live without it. and obviously the next shot is, that has to be Kiyomiko.
Yeah, so. I think this is for sure.
Yeah.
These monkeys look pretty frightening. We never get a great look at them, but they certainly look different than the ones that are in the stage version, which are played by humans, obviously, but... Yeah, these look pretty scary.
Wait. You mean they did not actually get monkeys and there they got Broadway? My mind is blown!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the next one shows all these tulips, and it looks like that's the Munchkin Village that perhaps, looks like no one mourns the wicked will be happening in, so this might actually be the beginning of it. Like, I could just see this going with the little build-up we have in the overture.
Yeah, for sure. So see, like, I think that we go from the shot of the hat at the beginning. Chistory jumps out the window, takes us over Oz to Munchkin Land, and then we come up to this shot. Like, that is, and, you know, meanwhile, we're building up to No One Mourns the Wicked.
Ooh.
I think that's what we're seeing here.
I just need more sweeping shots of Oz and Oz movies, where it's like... I think the only one that's ever done that really is Tin Man, and I'm just like, wow.
Well, and thank God they have the budget to do it well here. You know, this is just gorgeous. I do want to note that in this shot here of Munchkin Land, I don't know if this is I don't know the gender of this character, but there's someone who looks like they're dressed almost exactly like one of the Lollipop Guild members, sort of in like a dark red, brownish outfit here. They have like the striped stockings. I don't know. And some sort of like little satchel around them maybe, but it's definitely looking like a Lollipop Guild type member here.
It's gotta be a nod.
All right.
And the next shot is the train going to the Emerald City. Honestly, so it's now been basically confirmed that LEGO is doing Wicked sets. This train has to be one of them.
Well, in Emerald City, can you imagine how many pieces that would be? Like, this Emerald City is one of the most, probably the most, like, intricate Emerald Cities that I've seen. Like, it's just, there are so many little, there's just so much going on here.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how complicated that would be as a Lego set.
It looks like there's even a wall around it, so.
Yeah.
Wow, I just love that. Apparently, they actually did read the original Oz books on the set, so there could be all sorts of little references that only some of us super mega Oz nerds are going to notice. So.
I would love that.
Yeah. One of these days, probably like in a couple of years, Angela and I would just go frame by frame through the movies and talk about everything.
That would take so long.
Well, you know, I'll just have content there, okay? Okay, so I'm trying to get to the next shot, which is, yeah, this has to be building into One Short Day. It's definitely Elphaba and Glinda in the Emerald City. Okay, now that I'm looking at this shot of Ariana Grande in 1080 PhD... even though it's still somewhat scaled down on my laptop. Okay, her hair looks a lot better. So.
I think it's maybe a little odd that her skin tone and her hair are so similar. I think that is, for me, what throws it off in some of the, depending on how the shot is lit, it's kind of hard to tell where her skin ends and where the hair begins. So, I don't know. Would have liked for maybe the hair to be a little bit either more on the yellow side or maybe a little darker, but that I'm just nitpicking at this point.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, we get a shot of, I guess this is the Emerald City, and you see some gold accents everywhere. Didn't Return to...
It's like...
No. I was going to say, didn't Return to Oz have some gold accents? And I'm like, no, wait a minute. When you saw the Emerald City, you barely saw it with... you barely saw them. What you mostly saw was a room full of mirrors, so not really.
Oscar Great and Powerful had quite a bit of gold in the Emerald City. It was a very Art Deco-y version of the Emerald City, but there is quite a bit of gold in sort of complementing the green in that version.
Oh, yeah. And the next shot has a lot of people talking, because this is Dorothy. You only see like the bottom of her skirt down, but she has blue socks and the silver shoes.
Yeah, interestingly, we don't know who is playing Dorothy. No one has been credited yet for playing her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that means anything. I don't know if it'll be, you know, I would guess that it's not a celebrity or anything.
Now that I'm framed by framing it through, that has to be a Scarecrow walking right behind, beside Toto there. As we get to the end.
Also, Toto is looking a lot like the Return to Oz Toto to me, which probably was not intentional, but I kind of appreciate it. It's more of a, he's certainly a different breed than the Toto we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
It's a little bigger. Well, and it has more of a brownish color.
This looks like a dog that could be a mutt that you wouldn't think twice about a little girl having, whereas honestly, if a little girl from Kansas had a Karen Terrier, you're like, what kind of hookup did you get that dog?
When I really wanted one of those when I was younger, when I was a kid, and they're very rare, it seems, and expensive. So
yeah, well,
I settled for a Yorkie. I love the slippers, though. These are immediately iconic. And again, like the opposite of minimalist. Like, I think they're just so extra in a great way.
I think the reason why a lot of people have said they prefer the ruby slippers to the silver shoes is because just imagine a flat shoe that's colored silver and there's nothing really special about it. But this one has designs and patterns on there, and I like it.
Also, yeah, I also want to mention that there is some footage from Wicked that was shown at CinemaCon about a year ago, which is like a private convention for theater owners and people in the industry. And several descriptions of the footage that was shown at CinemaCon said that there are ruby slippers. So I don't know. And I also heard from a couple other people that Universal was going in the ruby slipper route and had even paid Warner Brothers, or was going to pay Warner Brothers to use the ruby slippers. Clearly that ended up not being true. I'm not sure what happened or if that was ever even the case. Maybe it was just rumors. I never saw it for myself, but I was fully expecting to see ruby slippers just because that's what I had been hearing. I am glad that they are not ruby, because having seen the rest of the teaser, I think this feels like a very distinct Oz. This doesn't feel like it's trying to replicate the imagery of the 1939 film the way that Oz the Great and Powerful and even other films like Legends of Oz have. Like, this feels like a fresh take on Oz visually, and so I think it's smart to go in this direction with the shoes, but it did surprise me.
And yeah, they look good. I appreciate that. There's ways to make the silver shoes work on screen that aren't just boring.
Yeah. Right.
So, all right, next shot, our first look at Jeff Goldblum as the wizard. I almost said the Wiz, and I'm like, it was probably because I was actually thinking of the silver shoes in the movie version of the Wiz, which honestly weren't that notable. They did have a little bit of a design going on them, but it wasn't much.
Right.
But yeah, that's why I almost called Jeff Goldblum the Wiz, although I'm sure he's going to get that title from somebody. So, he's talking to a little microphone here. And then you see the clockwork head with apparently a lot of animation going on. Which doesn't
look... This shot looks very CGI to me. So this is one that I think I would maybe send back to the VFX artist to take another crack at. The like little tassels or whatever in front of his face just look very artificial to me. So I don't hate it, but I think I would spend a little bit more time on it.
Yeah. And then it switches to a shot with Dorothy, the Tin Woodman, the Scarecrow, and the Lion, all in front of the Wizard, which I kind of get what they're going for here, and that it looks like the Wizard might actually be an actual living giant head in these kind of tassels, or whatever they are, in front of it, kind of obscure that.
Yeah, this is really cool. I will say that I love the Wizard head in the stage version of Wicked. Like, I think it is just super cool. Love the design. Very iconic. This is somewhat similar. It still sort of has a goldish color. It's very metallic. It is, you know, practical. This is CGI, but you know what I mean? It's, you know, supposed to be practical. So it's similar, but I kind of miss the one from the show. Yeah. But I don't hate it. I love that the lion looks like a straight up lion. That's not someone in a costume, where it looks like, you know, obviously because we know that the Tin Man is Buck and the Scarecrow is Fiero, that those are people in costumes. I like that the lion is just a straight up lion. That's cool. And he looks great. Like, you know,
yeah.
Great, great work there.
Yeah. I will say that the green on the Scarecrow's costume makes him look a lot like Ray Bolger, but he's not wearing a hat. And we only see him from behind, so we can't comment on the face.
Yeah,
I think that's true. Probably going to be intentional, that the reveal of his face is probably going to be saved for the very last moments of part two, which if you've seen the show, you know.
Well, and I'm thinking that this might be very obvious, but I'm thinking that so the green in his shirt looks like the Emerald City green that we've seen throughout this teaser. So I'm thinking that's because when he becomes a Scarecrow, he's wearing the green Emerald City Guard outfit in this, and that becomes his Scarecrow outfit, right? So, like, maybe if we, you know, if we were able to see more detail on the Scarecrow, like, perhaps we would see some remnants of his Captain of the Guard outfit.
Yeah.
That is what I'm speculating.
So what you're saying is, be very careful about what you're wearing when you get turned into a Scarecrow.
Make sure it's something you can live with for the rest of your life.
Because that's not just going to be your clothes. That's going to be your body.
For Dorothy, I will say that it looks a lot like, you know, Judy Garland Dorothy. If we take away the shoes, like, silhouette-wise, this is very similar to the iconic Judy Garland look. She looks to be about the same age as, you know, Judy. This looks like a 14, 15, 16-year-old to me. I know a couple of, you know, diehard Oz fans who maybe lean a little bit more on the books. We're hoping to see a younger Dorothy. It doesn't look like that's the case. So, yeah, that's interesting. Also, it looks like Toto is right in front of the Tin Man's leg. Yeah. So he's chilling there. Yeah.
They already have to be visually distinct from the MGM film. They don't want to totally look like something different, so...
Yeah, that's fair. So,
all right, so next shot shows us another view of the Wizard, and we can kind of see this is Jeff Goldblum, but it looks like he's got a lot more going on with the works behind him. So
yeah, it almost looks like a little, like a layer or something. You know, there's like, you can see like maybe a chalkboard down there. Like, this is, there's a little staircase. This is probably where Wonderful takes place, the musical number. So it's nice that he's got a lot more space back there.
Okay.
And this is also a more like extra version of the Wizard. So like, if you've seen the Broadway version, like, he's definitely, it's similar to like the Frank Morgan take on the character. Like, it's just sort of your typical like old man guy. Well, right.
Frank Morgan wears
nothing.
Frank Morgan wears a black coat. I know in the original Broadway production, Joel Grey was wearing this kind of like creamy gray coat, and he was Jeff Goldblum just wearing straight up green.
Yeah, you know, even, you know, the hair is, you know, fantastical. Like, it's just, it's a different take on the wizard than from the show, which is, which I appreciate. It also feels more true to who Jeff Goldblum is and the performance that he's likely to give. Yeah. He's not, you know, he's theatrical. He can't help it. That is who he is as an actor, which we get from some of the voiceover earlier on in the teaser. So I like that they're going in that sort of direction here.
Alright. Yeah. I'll probably like throw in the audio of the teaser right at the start here, so in the edit.
Okay.
Alright, so next one is definitely the start of Defying Gravity, where Elphaba summons the boom for the first time. But
yeah, it looks like the window behind her has already been broken. Few shots from here, we see her fly through the window. So I'm a little confused about the continuity here about when this shot takes place, because the window's already broken. Unless there's another window up here that she goes out.
Yeah. Maybe the wizard's guard has already spotted where she is and basically fire a warning shot at the window and break it. It's kind of like, you come out or we're going to do even worse. Which, I mean, wizard's gonna have to fix some glass, but whatever, he's the wizard. So. Alright, and then we get another shot of Elphaba with her broom, hat, everything. She's ready to go full Margaret Hamilton.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, probably in Defying Gravity when Galinda puts the cape around her and she stands and there's a music cue right there that is pretty epic. That looks like what this shot is. I love the detail on the broom, by the way. Again, like, it's just extra, right? It's like there's nothing simple about anything in this film from a design perspective. It's giving so much for no reason, but we love it. And I think it will make for great cosplay, for great merchandise. Like, I'm sure the dolls will be gorgeous and super fun, so I love it.
Yeah. Next shot, sir, is definitely when the guards break in and Elphaba actually starts to find gravity by jumping around with a broom. Which,
I'm hoping. Sorry. We only get some, like, really quick shots of flying in here. So I'm hoping that in the film, like, I hope they're done well. I think one of the I compare Oz the Great and Powerful again because it's sort of the most recent big Oz movie that we've had.
It was also definitely Disney's. We can't do Wicked. Let's do this instead.
Right. It's hard not to compare because there's just inherent similarities. But it's like, I think a lot of the flying in that film looked kind of awkward and not great. So hopefully they did it. They figured it out here and they did a good job. I don't have any reason to think that they wouldn't, you know, but I am just hopeful. I love that we see, looks like she's wearing some, like, green leather, shiny looking boots, which I think are cool and different. So I'm into that.
Okay. And then next one shows something with sparks and these little flowers that with pictures of Elphaba on them that say run. This could probably be part of Defying Gravity.
Yeah, we also see some maps in the background. This might be in the wizard's lair that we were looking at before, maybe. Maybe this is when Elphaba has the grimoire and she is doing a spell in front of the wizard and Madame Marble. That's just a guess. But given the posters, this might actually be from Act 2.
And we fade into a little shot of Madame Marble walking with winged monkeys behind her, which kind of makes you wonder what's going on.
I think this is Madame Marble walking up to give her pre-Defying Gravity speech, perhaps. The one that's, you know, that ends with Wicked Witch. That is what my guess would be here.
Yeah, right before Defying Gravity, the wizard tricks Elphaba and basically creating the winged monkeys. Right. So I could see that they save Madame Marble's reveal for after that, And she comes up and basically says, look, I'm here in the Emerald City too. I got this new job. And we see the monkeys behind her. And Elphaba's like, oh, I really messed up.
Yeah, I see that looks like the monkeys are wearing like full suits, maybe? Like, it looks like, you know, it looks like they're wearing like shirts, jackets, pants that are green. I wonder if it's just the lighting and the coloring of this shot, or if the monkeys are actually like a bluish purple color, which would be interesting. And that would maybe sort of be an homage to the monkeys in the 1939 film, which are sort of bluish. But here they definitely look like a, you know, like a bluish purple, which I think would be cool if that is accurate, because sort of a fantastical version of what a monkey would be rather than just a monkey with wings.
Yeah. And they also have, you mentioned purple blue. They have blue wings. Their wings are definitely blue.
Right.
So,
yeah. I love Metamorble's look here as well. It is gorgeous.
Michelle Yeoh is fierce.
Yes.
Oh, boy. All right. So, the very next shot, this has to be during Popular. And I already thought, as soon as I thought about how this would Popular would translate into a movie, that this does not just happen in their bedroom.
Yeah, I had never thought about it until I saw this shot. And I was like, ooh, they could actually do some really fun things visually with this song. And instead of just having, you know, Galinda sing it on next to Elphaba's bed. Like, I think this, I'm very excited for what other visuals we could get here. Also, as just someone who loves all things pink, I am just enjoying the idea of what we could get here. I also love, we can barely get, we don't really get a great look at what she's wearing, but whatever it is, I love it. And it's very pink.
It's pink, goes with everything.
Yeah, I love it.
Alright, so yeah, after that, it's an extremely brief shot, but after that we get another shot of the wizard, and there's this lens flare as he's,
yeah.
I don't know, it's like he's looking up at something going on. Maybe this is Elphaba's, maybe this goes with the scene that of the little explosion we saw. Because there's a bright light. Looks like it's coming from behind him. That's what causes the lens flare.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe there's like, or maybe the guards are like attacking her with some sort of, maybe they have like, I don't know, some sort of weapons that, I don't know. Something's going on.
Alright.
He looks freaked out.
So, and then, yeah, here we get to the line you predicted. Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the winged monkeys flying around the Emerald City. And, yeah. Okay, we got about 12 seconds left here, people.
Yeah. I love this shot. This makes me wish that the film were in 3D. And it may still end up being released in 3D. And at the end card here in the trailer, it says IMAX and Dolby, but does not say 3D. So I'm not, we have no clue if it'll be released in 3D, but I would love for it to be, because shots like this, I think, would be so immersive with the added depth.
So
we shall see.
Alright. And then after that, we see Glinda in her bubble, and it looks like in the Emerald City. So is this actually in part two? Because this is the dress we've seen that we know that she's going to be filming No One Wins the Wicked in.
Yeah, I think this is either her at the beginning leaving the Emerald City to fly to, to go to Munchkin Land to sing No One Wins the Wicked, or it could be from part two. Mm-hmm. One of the two. I'm not sure how to feel about what they've come up with for the bubble, because it looks like this sofa-looking thing that she stands on travels in the bubble too. So like, it's an interesting way to do it. Like, this platform stays in the bubble, it seems. So, I don't know. I have to see how it works, but you know, it's an interesting take on, because in the show the bubble is, you know, just sort of a mechanical thing that pulls up and down on stage. And I don't know, it's just a different take. Like in Oz the Great and Powerful, they're just sort of standing inside the bubbles. And I think that actually looked really good. I think they did a good job with the way they did the bubbles in that film. But this is interesting. An extra. Again, it's extra for no reason.
Okay, so yeah, the next shot shows, I guess this is, okay, it's a red carpet, but it's Elphaba and Glinda joining hands, and this might be right before they walk in to see the wizard. You know, this is Elphaba thinking she's about to finally talk to the wizard and maybe work with him.
Yeah, this looks like the One Short Day dress that we, the dress that I think she wears from One Short Day through the end of the part one, looks like that dress for Glinda. So this could be, yeah, I think that's, we see like kind of two kind of stairwells that look like they could maybe lead to the wizard, maybe the door that goes to the wizard's chamber. So I think that's a solid bet.
Yeah. And then we get, it's the wizard who should be afraid of me. And, you know, there's a little bit showing you that. And then, Cynthia Erivo gives a different reading of that line than we get from the musical, because I think a lot of us have seen it where it's like, it's a wizard who should be afraid, and then of me, almost as if that's an extra sentence, but Cynthia basically says it all as one sentence.
Yeah, I prefer the delivery in the music, in the Broadway version. And I think it's possible that there's a different take that they end up using in the actual film.
Remember, like,
it's not unusual. Right. And this is like, it almost feels a little rushed to me, the delivery. So it may just be for timing for a 1 minute teaser. Maybe it was easier to use a take where she says the line quickly, but I prefer the drama of the delivery, and you know, that we're used to for this line.
Yeah. And then Elphaba breaking through a window with her broom, going out of the Emerald City.
Very dangerous.
You can get some glass in there, and obviously Oz has really easy to break glass. Just anything just makes it shatter.
Well, and this looks like maybe this. No, I don't know. It's a similar. It looks like it's an intentional. It looks intentional that this parallels the shot with the hat and the monkey flying out the window. Like, that seems like an intentional parallel in the way that it's framed. I don't think it's the same window. I think the other window is at the castle and this is Emerald City, but definitely feels like some symmetry on purpose here.
Mm. Yeah, so she goes out, it fades to black, and then suddenly a quick cut to her flying among the towers, and she's holding the broom. Not riding on it. Kind of similar to how we've often seen Act 1 in the musical. And then with a flash, we are on the title. But.
And I think that last shot of her could very well be the last shot of the film. Like, you know, this could be the battle cry moment as she holds up the broom, similar to how we're used to seeing her do it in the stage version. I don't know. Also, note again that there is a hint of a rainbow in the sky, and I think it's just subtle enough that I like it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes, we have arrived at the title card.
Which, you know, new logo for a new version of Wicked.
Yeah, I'm surprised they stuck to this logo. We've seen this since before they even started shooting. There were, like, different leaks and things that had this logo on it, so I don't mind it. I think it'll grow on me. I'm so used to the logo that has been used for the stage version for 20 years that it is, you know, it's still new for me, but oh well. Also interesting that they're not referring to this as Wicked Part One, just as Wicked. And in the press release that came out alongside the teaser, they refer to this as Wicked, and then the 2025 film as Wicked Part 2. So, I think that's interesting. I don't, and you know, they could change the title for part two before it comes out. I know that at one point Cynthia Erivo posted a photo of her script and it said Wicked for Good, like Wicked colon for Good. So it could be interesting if they called part two that. We shall see.
All right.
We did it.
We did it. We got through the whole thing. Whew. It. So yeah, this is going to be a great. This looks like it's going to be a great movie, and I hope it has its own identity, separate from the book, separate from the musical. So we'll see what's been added on.
I think I may end up beating my own record for a number of times I've seen a film in theaters. What? I saw Frozen in theaters 5 times. I've seen Wicked on stage 13 times. So perhaps I can watch Wicked, the movie, in theaters 13 times. Hmm. I think that's ambitious and will definitely put my Cinemark Movie Club membership to the test. But I can see myself wanting to see this as many times as possible on the biggest screen possible.
The employees are just going to know you by sight.
I'll just book like back-to-back showings. Although, you know, it's coming out the same weekend, the same day as Moana 2, which will also be big. So, you know, I'm a big Moana fan as well. Not as big as Oz and Wicked, but I'll want to see Moana 2
as well. This is our Barbenheimer, okay?
Yes.
If we're going to do back-to-back screenings of anything, I'd rather do a Disney movie and an Oz movie back-to-back.
No one has come up with a Barbenheimer-type name for this phenomenon yet that I like. There's like Moaned, which is really weird. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. So we'll have to figure it.
Wick Water.
Do your thing. Yeah, we got to come up with a better one.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to mesh those two words together.
Okay. Oh, boy. I did not turn the light on in this room, and it is getting dark.
Well, cool. I've very much enjoyed going over this. I am very impressed with this teaser and could not be more excited about this movie.
Yeah. And like I said, they crammed all that stuff we talked about in 1 minute.
I would be fine if we don't get any more. Obviously, we will get more trailers before then, but maybe just one more trailer. I don't want to see too much. I've seen a lot already, and I don't. Yeah, just don't give me too many trailers. Universal, please.
I want to see this first look on the big screen.
I know. I'm wondering if there are any movies coming out soon that they'll play it in front of. I've been thinking about that. I also can't wait to see the poster in the theater. Like, that'll be exciting. And I love the poster that came out alongside this teaser, by the way.
Oh, yeah, the one with Glinda and Elphaba and their silhouette makes the W.
Yeah, that is just so smart. Like, there have been a lot of really great fan posters, but the concept of this, I think, is it's, like, simple and perfect, and I love it. Big fan.
Okay. Well. So yeah, Thanksgiving, hurry through the turkey and everything and get you to the theater.
I think I'm just going to put myself in a coma for the next few months and just wake me up when it is November 26th. Comes out November 27th, but there's always showings the day before. So.
Oh man, it's November.
Wake me up on the 26th.
We got to vote before then, okay?
Oh, wow, that's true. We have a big election in early November. So maybe, yeah, November 1st. Yeah. Wake me up.
We already know who we're voting for, so, you know.
Yeah.
Not
doing our civic duty.
I just want to come up with a creative name for the person we're not voting for that has been used before, but I'm just like, no, whatever. If you know us, you know who we're not voting for.
And hopefully you guys listening are making good choices as well.
Please. It's like, think about the votes you make. Think about who they affect. Why does anyone vote Republican these days?
Yeah, great question.
So,
great question.
Well, you know, that's kind of ties into one of the things of Wicked is that it's all part of it is about the public being made to hate somebody that mm-hmm. does not quite deserve that. So, you know that some propaganda just makes people turn to hate other people, and it's like, why? This does not help anybody.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's spread the love.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
So, yeah. It's like, we get people have differences of opinion, but at the end of the day, I want to be able to voice my difference of opinion without thinking, oh, someone's going to take a gun and shoot me.
Right. Well, hopefully on November 26th or 27th, when we are watching Wicked, we are not mourning our democracy. Hopefully it's a great November, great end to the year, and happy times.
Yeah.
Let's end on that note with that hope. Speaking it into existence, manifesting it now. It'll be a good month.
Yes. All right. Well, Angela, thanks for making that pitch and worked out.
Thanks for having me and letting me break down this teaser with you. I have had a great time and would love to do it again if there's another trailer between now and November, which I'm sure there will be.
And well, then there's probably next year with the lead up to part two.
I know. It's how lucky are we that we get 2 years back to back with an Oz movie?
Yeah. All right. And also apparently that Russian movie that's coming out, if we can see that one. Screw you, Putin.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. I don't know much about it, but I'll keep an eye on it for sure.
All right.